What is the radius of Sting's orc-detecting radar? How far away can it sense orcs and goblins? Yes, I know it's super niche and nerdy even for me, but I went down a bit of a rabbit hole on this one, so bear with me. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, and my livestream channel, IDG Live, we cover Tolkien's Legendarium in nerdy detail, as well as A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. If you're new here, welcome. Bilbo's sword Sting shines blue when orcs or goblins are nearby, but from how far away does it detect them? Tolkien has a famously soft magic system, so he nowhere tells us exactly how it works or its limitations, but I think he does give us enough clues to figure it out roughly. The first time we see it glow is under the Misty Mountains. Bilbo had kept it hidden when the company was captured by goblins, but when he gets lost and finds the ring and is scrabbling around in the dark, he remembered it. We read, "Now he drew it out. It shone pale and dim before his eyes." So, it is an elvish blade too, he thought, and goblins are not very near, and yet not far enough. There's actually quite a lot to dig into here. Bilbo found Sting in the same troll hoard as Glamdring, taken by Gandalf, and Orcrist, taken by Thorin, and both of those blades were confirmed as elf-made by Elrond when they passed through Rivendell. And then he saw Glamdring shine brightly when Gandalf used it to kill the Goblin King. So when he sees Sting glowing, it's an obvious conclusion that it too is an elf blade. But what's intriguing is how he then immediately uses the brightness of the blade to gauge how far away the goblins currently are. The goblins are not very near, and yet not far enough, he thinks. Because that's how Sting's Orcdar works. If they are close, it shines brightly. If they are further away, it shines dimly. At this point, Bilbo hasn't had the chance to experiment with this feature, checking how bright it is at different distances and so on, so we have to assume that either it was something he knew from all the stories of elves and goblins he'd heard as a younger hobbit, or Elrond or Gandalf had talked about it off-camera in Rivendell, or Gandalf on the journey. Either way, it means that even if we don't know what kind of range it has, people in the story like Gandalf and Bilbo and Elrond do know. This will be important for our calculations later. For now, though, sadly we don't have much to go on here, or even the next time Bilbo takes it out, about exactly how far away the goblins are. Bilbo is in a multi-layered maze of tunnels. They could be anywhere. His assertion that they must be not very near yet not far enough away is rather vague, but we can probably confidently assert that shining pale and dim as it was meant that they weren't in his immediate vicinity, but he still had to be careful. So certainly more than a few metres or yards away, not very near, but also probably less than, say, a kilometre or maybe even a mile away. Not far enough away. Broad parameters so far, but let's push on. Okay, so let's fast forward to when Frodo had Sting. Again, under the Misty Mountains, but this time in Moria. The orcs attack the Fellowship and we read this. Another harsh horn call and the shrill cries rang out. Feet were coming down the corridor. There was a ring and clatter as the company drew their swords. Glamdring shone with the pale light, and Sting glinted at the edges. So, glinting at the edges when the orcs are close enough that they can hear them running down the corridor towards them. Even in the echoing corridors of Moria, that can't have been more than a couple of hundred yards or metres, surely. And, as an aside, it seems that Sting is less sensitive than Glamdring. Glamdring is shining with a pale light, while Sting is only glinting at the edges. Let's now fast forward again to when Sam has Sting, because so far we have only seen Sting when orcs or goblins are an indeterminate distance away. What about when they are right up close? Well, when Sam went hunting for Frodo's body in Cirith Ungol with Sting in hand, it starts out as a glittering blue. Then, when he comes face to face with Shagrat, we read this. Its light smote the eyes of the orc like the glitter of cruel stars. So it is very bright when orcs are right there. And when all the orcs in the tower itself are dead, there is hardly a flicker to be seen on the blade, we're told. We don't know, but it was probably still picking up Shagrat, who was running away from the tower at that point after his confrontation with Sam. How far had he got? Well, in the meantime, Sam gave brief chase, explored the tower a bit, sang a song, of course, dealt with the last orc and reunited with Frodo, so your guess is as good as mine. A mile, maybe? Let's hold that thought, because the important point here is that these appear to be the extremes. So bright it smote the eyes of an orc, up close, and hardly a flicker when they are at the extreme end of its range. So we have a sliding scale, and some people seem therefore to be able to tell roughly how far away orcs are by the brightness of the light, as Bilbo did that first time. And now, wonderfully, we have the moment we need, a possible exact-ish measurement based on the estimation of someone who seems to understand this sliding scale, Aragorn. How might Aragorn know? Well, Elrond clearly knew about Glamdring and Orcrist, and Elrond was Aragorn's foster father, and he also spent many years travelling with Gandalf and Glamdring, so it makes sense. The situation is this. It's the night before the Fellowship break. They have set up camp on the west of the River Anduin, on a patch of grass called Parth Gallan, just below the slopes of the Hill of Amon Hen, by the riverside and just north of the mighty Rorus Waterfall. It's quite an exact location. We're also told that they had no sight or sound of enemies, so there's no one very close. They go to sleep, but set a watch just in case. Still, Aragorn is uneasy. He goes over to Frodo, whose watch it is. "Why are you waking?" asked Frodo. "It's not your watch." "I do not know," answered Aragorn, "but a shadow and a threat has been growing in my sleep. It would be well to draw your sword." "Why?" said Frodo. "Are enemies at hand?" "Let us see what sting may show," answered Aragorn. Frodo then drew the elf blade from its sheath. To his dismay, the edges gleamed dimly in the night. "Orcs," he said, "not very near, and yet too near, it seems." "I feared as much," said Aragorn, "but maybe they are not on this side of the river. The light of Sting is faint, and it may point to no more than spies of Mordor roaming on the slopes of Amon Nor." Note that, again, we don't know exactly where the orcs are at this point. It may be, as Aragorn says, that they are on the other side of the river, but it may also be the orcs that catch up with them that next day on their side of the river. This time, though, it doesn't matter, because what we care about is Aragorn's estimate of distance based on Sting's brightness. He actively asks Frodo to draw the sword so that they can see how bright it is. Frodo comes out with the rather hobbity line, the same one that Bilbo had come out with that first time, "not very near, yet too near." That doesn't tell us much. We already know that the orcs aren't right in front of them. But Aragorn goes straight into translating the brightness of Sting into an estimate of where the orcs might be. And he says it means that they might be on the slopes of Amon Lor. Amon Lor is the twin hill of Amon Hen on the other side of the river, with the seat of hearing on its summit as opposed to the seat of seeing. So how far are the slopes of Amon Lor from where they are on Parth Gallan? Well, let me introduce you to this map by Karen Wynne Fonstad in The Atlas of Middle-earth. I'm sure many of you will already be aware of this book, but if you aren't, Wynne Fonstad was a professional cartographer who took it upon herself to dive deep into Tolkien's writings, both published and unpublished, and create maps of the world that could be used as companions to the books. So well received were they by the Tolkien community and academics that even Christopher Tolkien referenced them approvingly. This isn't authorised by the Tolkien estate or anything like that, but it's as close as we're going to get at this level of detail. And if we zoom in on that bit of her map, we can see that there is a rough scale. And depending on where on Parth Gallan and Amon Lor we're talking about, it's maybe 2,000 to 4,000 feet away. That's very roughly 600 to 1,200 metres, which sounds about right. It's a wide river, but narrowing before the falls, a hill by the side of the river, but not a particularly massive one. And it also fits with Frodo and Aragorn's reactions. Aragorn seems wary, but not overly alarmed. He doesn't wake the rest of the Fellowship or rush them to get going before breakfast. Even if the orcs are on their side of the river, they will have time to react before they get too close. Actually, Aragorn does also briefly consider, based on how bright Sting was, the possibility that there are orcs on the slopes of Amon Hen on their side of the river, which would be a lot closer. He seems to think it unlikely, but it does show that he realizes that this is not an exact science. So, how big is Sting's radius? Because the example we just looked at was seemingly not the furthest extent of its reach. It was at gleaming dimly level, not hardly a flicker. So it could probably sense a bit further than that. If Aragorn thought it possible it could pick up orcs over a kilometre away, then perhaps hardly a flicker of light on Sting would mean as far as a mile. That's just over 1,600 metres. Which, happily, matches up with our rough estimate of how far Shagrat might have managed to run away from Sam when Sting was at the hardly a flicker level. So, unless you can persuade me otherwise in the comments section below, I will go to sleep easily tonight believing that the radius of Sting's orc radar is about a mile, at which point it registers hardly a flicker. Its edges gleaming or glowing faintly means the orcs are somewhat closer than that, within a few hundred metres or yards, fitting into Bilbo and Frodo's not very near yet too near category. And if Sting ever starts to glitter blue or get blindingly light, then they're definitely too near. You'll actually have to use Sting. But let me know what you think in the comments below. If you'd like more videos like this, diving into Tolkien's Legendarium, there's a playlist appearing now on the left of your screen. Or to support this channel, the best way to do that is by clicking on the link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.